This is How Men Think with Brooks Like and Gavin DeGraw, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to another episode of How Men Think. My name is Brooks Like, and I will give co-host honors. Amy didn't say I could do this, but I can do whatever I want on this show. Honors to Dimitri and Rick today.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Dimitri? How you doing?
Does that mean more money or any money? Or what comes with the co-host title?
I think it's less
so far, I've received no money.
Okay, well, so, right.
You should have gotten a check for $242.
Oh, wow. I found that in my couch.
Did you not get that yet? For real?
it was in your dryer.
Yeah.
Your lint catcher.
We don't have Gavin today, so Gav, buddy, I miss you. He's usually my co-host pilot. Ryan's not here today. He's co-hosted one, so now I want to bestow this honor on you gentlemen to be gracious co-hosts for the first time.
And we are very honored. Thank you, Brooks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have come in prepared with like a badge where you could pin on you guys, like a sheriff's
badge. It feels a little last minute. It feels a little thrown together, but that's okay.
It's the perfect day for them to co-host because of the topic.
Oh.
Because they're somewhat of experts.
Oh, there, Amy. Well said. So the topic of today's podcast, we teased it last week. The topic of today's podcast is sex. We are going to dive into all things sex. We've got so many questions, comments, thoughts, stories from the listeners about sex, and we are going to dive into all of it. And Amy, I guess, looks at you. You didn't say I was anything of an expert.
Apparently, we're sex experts.
I mean,
sex.
We are 45. I don't know how.
Congratulations,
how often I get laid, but Jesus Christ!
I mean, I've got.
I want to talk about diet.
I've gotten a compliment here and there over the years, but I don't know if that makes me an expert, but sure.
You're a humble guy, Dimitri. You are a humble guy. Amy's like just chomping at the bit to get into this one.
I just don't want my parents listening. It would just feel weird because I will reveal things that are inappropriate.
Okay, Amy's an open book. We always appreciate that. Okay, so the very first topic, the first thing. And by the way, we're going to have some fun today, but this is also a very serious conversation. This is a part of life, a part of relationships, a part of individuality, all of this. And this is a part, truthfully, a part of happiness. And so it's somewhat been a taboo or hush-hush topic. And that's the point of this show is we want to dive into areas that maybe people are scared of going or opening up about or being vulnerable. So we are going to go at this in a playful and fun way, but also in a very thoughtful and hopefully serving way to the community where you guys can draw some value from this. We have three males and one female. We also have producer Tori and producer Danielle in studio, so we can maybe have them weigh in as well, so we can have some polarity between men and women and the conversation
and
for you
age
listeners
we need
home.
Tori's younger opinion, and then we do have a couple experts. Oh, real experts.
We knew it was coming at some point.
It's sort of like the last minute co-host thing.
Yeah.
Now we're demoted to just second expert.
We were as sex experts for like 2 minutes, which sounds about right.
Hey, that's 2 minutes more. Okay, let's go right into it. Okay, the topic that we receive the most from our listeners, the thing that you guys want to hear the most about or have the most issue with in your relationships is initiating sex. So the very first thing we want to talk, we have some bullet points that you guys have sent in. A very common issue is one partner wants sex more than the other. So one partner has a greater sex
drive. Do you
find
that in your marriages, all three of you?
Yeah, I'd say so. And in fact, let me make a blanket statement here. A lot of this will be about my marriage, but some of this will also be from other relationships I've had. So I don't want anybody listening to think, oh, this is obviously his wife. So, but yeah, I think more. I always assumed it was more times than not. A lot of the time, the guy wants it more.
Disagree.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah, I know that from our listeners and from myself. Women, I think the issue is somebody always wants it more.
I think the biggest fallback is that you don't communicate it to each other. And so I have a feeling in my relationship that I want to have sex more, but it could be totally the opposite. We're just not communicating about it.
That's a great point. I mean, you know, probably, especially if I'm saying I think it's guys and Amy's saying it's probably good, then maybe it's just high noon and no one's talking. It's just the standoff.
The other day I was playing the holdout game and it was lasting a long time.
How'd that go?
And finally I got a text and it was like, sex tonight? ?? With the praying hands. And I was like, hell yeah. Okay, cool.
Why were you holding out?
It's just a mind game.
What? Buddy.
Here we go.
Okay, yeah. Let's unpack this.
Marriage of 15 years and you're playing mind games for sex?
Is that because you want her to initiate it?
Yes.
Because it makes you feel desired?
Totally.
Interesting.
Okay, so
that's one of the mind. Yeah, that's one of the.
That leads into one of our next things that's very common. People feel when they initiate, this is a response from the listeners, when they initiate and get turned down, they feel sad. And so that actually scares them about initiating sex.
I'll say this personally, from my point of view, it's not that I get scared, but it is an awkward feeling. Like, remember when you were younger and maybe your credit wasn't that good, you didn't have any money and you had a credit card and you'd go to pay for things and you're like, oh God, this could be declined.
Yeah.
And you get that awkward, like almost flop sweat and you're like, oh my God, how's this going to go? And it gets accepted and you're like, oh, thank God. And if it gets declined, you're like, ooh, now everyone knows that.
Now everyone knows I don't have $3.
And then you get into your hotel room and you're like, I'm going to get room service now.
But
so it is, exactly. So it is, I think it does suck to be turned down.
So
and for the reason could be legitimate, but to be turned down is a blow to your ego and be like. Ugh.
So here's the other side to that. Is it really a blow to the ego? Because there has to have been times when your wife is in the mood and you're like, I'm just like exhausted. Like I just can't right now. All I want to do is go to sleep. You guys have four kids. Like, would you not look at both sides of the coin? Like, I do that when I think of like my wife. I think of like, yeah, sometimes there's times where she's just had a super stressful day. And there's times where I've had a day or I'm super exhausted or something. I'm just, all I really want to do is go to sleep. That doesn't mean that you don't love the person.
No, it doesn't mean that you don't love him. But when I say a blow to the ego, it's like, no, you may want something. And when you don't get it, it doesn't mean you feel like you're a failure and this person doesn't like you. But it's like, you kind of wanted something. You want that person to want it too.
Yeah.
So if you're in the mood and the other person's like, not, you're like, oh, well. It's not like all of a sudden your self-esteem is shot, but it sucks.
Yeah, I see. Like, it's happened to me, obviously, but I see how you can take it like the person is not attracted to you. That
I've
it could
never
be interpreted.
Turned it down. If it's someone I'm in a relationship with, ever.
I don't know that I have
ever?
Either.
Ever?
No, I've never turned it down. No. I mean, I think it's more
yeah,
like.
Hold on. Yeah, right. All three of you have never.
I mean, I turned it down last night.
No,
we're all liars. Danielle's
no,
saying we're
I've
all
never
liars.
In
that's what I'm saying. Producer Danielle. See, I agree with producer Danielle.
Not that I can remember. No. Because it's like, all right, maybe it wasn't like my best performance, but I was never like, you know what? Not tonight.
And I also think you can mess around. I'm not saying like the full thing, but I've never turned it down, like at least sort of fooling around ever. If I'm in a relationship with a person.
Okay. I kind of agree with producer Danielle here. Do you want to chime in on this? This is Danielle.
Maybe let's hold off on the you guys are liar part and just say your opinion.
Well, I just, there's so many days when you come home and you're just tired and all you want to do is just go to sleep. And that's happened to me before where my husband's like, you know, trying to have sex and I'm like, I can't right now. The only thing on my brain is going to sleep. Let's do this tomorrow.
And
you know
that,
what I mean?
But that's from a woman. Like, I've been turned down for that same reason.
Exactly.
But I don't know that I've never had like my wife or a girlfriend when I was in a relationship be like, I want to have sex. And me be like, yeah, not tonight.
Has your husband turned you down?
I'm trying to think.
That's a no.
I don't think so.
That's
thank
no.
you so much.
I don't think so.
You're a liar.
I know. Damn it. I just literally got contradicted, didn't I?
No. So you could say that you've turned it down. I'm trying to think if I've ever turned it down. I think I can't clearly say for sure that I have, but I can't clearly say that I haven't. I would bet that I probably have in my life, in my relationship with my wife, have turned down sex at some point.
I honestly think you guys are all
lying too.
No.
Perhaps you're misremembering, but I really don't remember. In fact, you're calling us a liar, but you can't remember when you did it. You're saying probably I must have.
Yeah.
And I think going back to the relationship side of it is there may be subtle things that she's promoting to promote sex. That's not like you're in the bed at the same time and you're reaching over and you're grabbing each other. It's could have been throughout the day or when you got home from work. It's like, hey, how's it going? And you know that I'm not even picking up on that.
Right.
Skill.
That's what I was going to say. So you're not picking up what she's putting down.
Yeah. Where okay. I'm like, hey, let's get physical or whatever. Then she's like, oh, I'm so tired tonight. You know, I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. But like,
That's a good point. So maybe there's subtle inquiries into it that we didn't pick up on, and then she stopped. But I've never flat out known it could happen and been like, no thanks.
Okay, so here's a question for you guys. So for people out there that are listening to this, that are struggling with initiating sex, what's something that they can do to get over the fear of rejection if the partner possibly says no, they're not in the mood? What can we do to help our listeners initiate more romance and sex in their relationship?
I think it goes to what Rick said, is that you got to be a little more open about it. I mean, I wouldn't play the mind games or the holdout game that Rick is, but I think you have to be a little more open about it, because sometimes you don't realize that that's what the person is putting out there. And then I think what we said before, just because you get rejected does not mean that person doesn't love you. Doesn't mean they're not attracted to you.
Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you guys. Do you think that if there's sort of rejection going on, maybe not one time, but often, there's something wrong in the relationship?
So after, sorry, Brooks, go
ahead. Like often, yes. Yeah. Like if you're talking very commonplace, yes, I believe so. I believe that there's an energetic thing that's off there. I don't think that it's that they're not compatible. I don't think that it's that they're not attracted to each other. I just think that there's an energetic misalignment at that moment that needs a rewiring, a recalibration to now be drawn to each other again versus almost repulsed.
Yes. That actually is in the books I read, that there can be such a turnoff for some reason that it's repulsive. And I don't mean that like the person is.
Yeah.
The idea of the sex.
And that's why I think it's an energetic thing.
When we moved out here after college, my buddy was in a relationship with this girl. And after a while, they had been dating for years. And after a while, he was just like, oh, she's just not interested in sex anymore. And my other buddy and I were like, I think she's probably just not interested in sex with you anymore.
Yeah.
Because, we were in our 20s. And for him to be like, she just doesn't want to do it. There was some disconnect there, because there's no way this girl in her 20s is just hanging it up for sex.
Yeah.
So clearly there was a problem with the relationship.
And was there?
Yeah.
So I have a friend who I will not name has sex with her husband every day. Now, I don't know if
every
that means
every day
full on or just like mouth stuff,
quote unquote. It's
just so funny. And she said her thought on it, too, is like, if for some reason she's not totally in the mood, she literally said to me, it takes 10 minutes. So there are times when she does it simply because he wants it and she loves him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nod Ooh. From Danielle.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I totally agree with that. There's some times where I'm like, I'm not in the mood, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And then same with him, vice versa. He's like, let's do it. You know, but sometimes I don't come home and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't wait to have sex. Right. You know, but if he's in the mood, I'm like, all right, I'll give in.
Can I chime in on that? Ahead, so first. I'll say on that issue, I think that if your partner's not into it, I think you go over and above and beyond to get them into it.
Oh, that's a good point.
Like that's a really Amy good point. Says.
I was going to ask mouth. Danielle, though. Yeah. But like when you're kind of just doing it, even though you're not in the mood at the end of it, did you enjoy it?
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Then I'm like, oh, just, I'm glad we did.
Who doesn't so love it's a, cake? Yeah. Like,
getting
but
across
back
that.
To Brooks's point of like, hey, when you're getting turned down, then maybe go over and above.
Yeah, let me see what I can do to engage you in this and get you excited and turned on.
A little foot rub, a little massage.
But then run around the house naked.
So it's super interesting. I'm just going to give two facts. I read a bunch of books to prepare for this episode. Massage is the number one thing to get people into it. And number two, the thing that people want the most, mouth stuff.
What's mouth stuff?
You don't know.
Can he borrow that book?
A mouth stuff. Mouth stuff is B.
Like chapstick.
BJ. BJ.
Chapstick.
Or
BJ.
Or.
I just want clarity.
Amy. On mouth on the lady.
Got it.
He's just trying to get you to say.
Yeah, he's putting you right in a trap here, Amy. So okay, what are those two things again? A massage.
Massage is the number one form of foreplay that is effective and people desire.
So let's unpack that for a second, because that's like a sensual touch. So that's actually like an energetic almost connection. Like, hey, let me not just grab parts of you and take control. Like, I don't want that.
Correct.
Right.
The book said more of really like, linger and take a lot of time before you touch those parts.
Yeah. So, and this is not just for a female. This is for a male too.
Correct.
Like if a man is not in the mood,
like rubbing your hands on his back or yes. just like light touching on his skin is a very sensual thing. And it's one of the erotic blueprints, right? From Jaya that we did.
So we did a lot of research for this blueprint. Episode with 30 to 50 year old men. And they want to give the massage. They also enjoy that as foreplay, not just receiving the massage, but giving it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. Giving a massage.
I find it. Yeah, a massage to me is probably too relaxing. Like I would rather give it than get it because I feel like I would probably get really rested getting a massage. Probably doze off,
falls asleep.
I love giving it. I think for me it's like an aphrodisiac. I get super turned on giving a massage.
You're
getting super turned on talking about giving a massage.
Have any of you, and please try to admit it, ever had the massage wink wink where they...
The happy ending massage?
In a parlor?
You mean a full body massage?
Yes.
That's...
In a parlor, like a paid for one?
Yes.
No, I have never.
It's a real thing in other countries.
Oh, it's a real thing. There's no doubt it's a real thing. Yeah. No, I have not. Robert Kraft. Right. Robert Kraft.
I know this is commonplace and people do not consider it cheating.
Yeah, I have friends, several friends, and I do travel around the world for work and business. And I do have friends that have gone to those places and they have told me stories about it. And it's basically, it's part of the culture. You know, it's something that men particular in those particularly countries do. And it's like a relaxation. It's like a woman going to a spa, right? So they've told me that you go in there and you get a full body massage. And then afterwards, there's a separate other room.
Full body. All parts.
Every single part of your body. And afterwards, you basically go into like a whole nother room that's like a man cave, sort of. And it's 50 lazy boy chairs. And everyone's sitting there. There's TVs everywhere, like whether it's sports or news or whatever. And you lay down and you can take a nap. I sound like I actually know, like I sound like I'm talking like I've been to one of
them. Rick, you've been there?
It's a winky wink.
And they come by and they, you know, he's told me they give you like warm towels and you lay down and they come by and give you foot massages. And then if you want a Coke or a beer or a cigarette or food or fruit, it's just like.
So it's very similar to Women's Day at the spa.
Totally.
But there's just a tiny bit more.
Cleaning of the pipe. So to say.
Yeah, it's a full body massage.
Oh, man.
Okay. I'm not. To me, that's totally fine.
No, to and me, that's cheating. To
okay,
me,
interesting.
Yeah, that's how I would never have
if
that.
If my boyfriend did that, I don't care.
What?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
It might make him last longer.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me. To me, that seems just like if I cared that he does it
would
to
you,
himself.
Would you do it?
No, because I don't want strangers touching me. I only want
that's the only reason you wouldn't do it, though. Or would you not do it because you would feel like you are being unfaithful?
No,
to
I
isn't a stranger giving you a full body massage anyway?
I don't get massages. I don't like them.
Well,
I don't like strangers touching me.
But we're talking to our listeners.
Well, they'd have to decide for themselves. For me, I wouldn't do it simply because I don't like a massage. I'm only into someone touching me that I'm attracted to.
Okay.
So that's and I'm in a relationship with.
So I actually side with Brooks on this one, but I have a friend and when he first got together with his now wife, we were out talking one night and he's like, yeah, she doesn't like to give, what do you want to say, mouth stuff?
Yeah.
And so he's like, she doesn't care if I get it somewhere else. She doesn't want to have sex anywhere, but she doesn't care if I get that somewhere else. And she was there and she said, yeah, I don't want to do it, but I don't want to deprive him.
So I draw the line on mouth stuff. I don't want my boyfriend going to a spa in another country and getting mouth stuff, but a massage and hand, totally fine. Seems the same to me as if he's doing it himself, watching a dirty movie on TV. That doesn't bother me either.
Okay. I would love to hear what our listeners think about this. So
I would too.
Please send us an email, men@iheartradio.com, because I'm
and
pulling the audience
here.
And
while
we're at it, we should do is maybe we should go on a trip and just try it. I know Gavin's probably going to be in on it. Yeah. I know Brooks. Maybe this is the episode Brooks isn't part of.
While they're at it, can they also let us know if they think porn is cheating? Because I don't, but some people do.
Okay.
In a minute, let's talk about that too.
Do you mean watching it or making it?
Watching it.
Oh, yeah. No.
Back from break. This is How Men Think. My name is Brooks Like, and this is the sex episode. We're diving into all the fun stuff. And we want to piggyback the porn part here. We just had a little interesting conversation over this break. And we're getting into the porn. Question for you guys. Dimitri, I'm looking at you. Rick, I'm looking at you. Is watching porn cheating in your definition?
No.
No.
Okay, elaborate a little more.
I mean, you're watching something. What's the difference of watching? Okay, 50 Shades of Grey was a very graphic movie, right? What's the difference between just watching something? If you're not involved in something and you're watching it, I mean...
What if you're watching it and then taking pleasure on yourself, with yourself?
I don't see why that would be cheating, no.
Rick?
I don't either. I think cheating, you need to sort of... we're not talking about porn, but like cheating is more of a physical one-on-one. If you're actually touching somebody, kissing somebody, having that's that on the side of your partner, right? Or your wife or your whatever. Whereas I don't feel like porn, you're watching something. And to Dimitri's point, you know, there's soft porn, there's 50 Shades of Grey, there's things that actually stimulate somebody. And I think if you're going to do something by yourself, then that's okay, as long as you're watching it, you're not having a physical interaction with somebody.
If you're going to a live show, yeah, then maybe you're getting a little closer to that. But if you're watching it, like, what, I don't...
Oh, I've been to a live show, actually. It's pretty fucking amazing.
So I want to get to that.
Third row.
Third row. Oh, man.
Didn't have the front row.
What was it like when you... Did you sit down in the seat, just be like, oh,
I know. It was
like,
so gross.
Wipes.
Dude wipes on those. So here's a question, though, to play devil's advocate to that, is that some people would look at that like it's almost like intellectual cheating, that you are desiring somebody else, that it doesn't need to be a physical act for it to be cheating.
See, I disagree.
Go ahead.
I just know that my guy watches porn but is thinking about me.
Are you sure he's
think
thinking about
that's
you?
Not true.
I don't think he is at all.
No.
He might not be.
Oh.
So, okay, so what if you found out he wasn't? He was watching porn thinking about that woman.
I don't care.
But listen, everybody has imaginations, right? You can find other things sexy or attractive. Just because you settle down with one person does not mean that you're tunnel vision from there. So for someone to watch something and think, like, I know couples that there are people out there, the couples that watch porn to get aroused together.
Yeah, I know
so
couples.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we talked about that. I might be open to that.
It's the basis of your relationship. Honestly,
thank
it's
you,
the basis.
I don't think we should.
Oh,
I see. Okay.
Well, and I think we would be naive to think that we are only attracted to that partner, meaning everybody wants a different thing. Like, I like trucks, I like Ferraris, I like sports, you know, whatever, you know, so it's like, yes, I love my wife. I love having sex with her. That whole thing is together. But I think it's also like you're thinking like, oh, I also that's attractive too.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know,
and desires change too.
Pizza every day.
And as long as you're not doing it in the way where we're talking about being physical with another person, and you're watching porn, or that's okay. You're still going to go back and be with that person. I can sit here right now and I can tell you my wife doesn't want to. You know, I'm not the only person in her eye to some extent, right? You know, I mean, like, they're probably walking down the street like, oh, but that guy's hot. Like, how many chicks think Brad Pitt's cute? Millions.
My wife has a picture of Brooks on the desk.
Ryan does.
Do you guys discuss the most searched? So we did some research, and Pornhub has the most searched porn by men and women. Did we reveal those yet? Would you like me to reveal them to you, and then you can discuss it? So the most common porn search.
Yeah, okay, right here. I got it right here.
Great.
So the most common. So, by the way, this is just like finding out what there are different boundaries in different relationships. Yeah. So this was just opening a discussion for that. So do that in your own relationship if you're listening to this. But the most common porn searches by men, this might startle you guys, MILF porn. MILF porn is the number one search by men on Pornhub.
And I did some research on number two because it threw me.
Number two, stepmom porn.
So I asked, what in the world does that mean? And what I found out is it means, so let's say there's like in the movie, there's a 30-year-old dude, right? And the dad is like 60. And the stepmom's the hot 35-year-old gal. And so the gist of the storyline is like the stepmom's like, oh, you're so much bigger than your dad, and like stuff like that. And I was like, oh, now I get it.
Well,
okay.
Here's the thing. I will say I know you'll laugh. I'm not a porn guy. I prefer movies like whatever. But I'm not a porn guy.
But I don't get what that means. You prefer movies? I prefer like Top Gun.
No. Well, I love Top Gun, sure. But no, I mean, I'm not a porn guy.
Gets off
on
Christmas vacation.
I don't watch porn, but I'm saying I find movies with like scenes, like romantic scenes and stuff that goes into that better. I'm not a porn guy because it's to me it's laughable. It's so cheesy. I have seen it, but I don't search it out. But what I will say about that is the one and two searches. I get it because when guys are younger, that's the fantasy. Guys, when they were like teenagers and coming into that whole sexual time, you don't think of like your peers that way. It's the whole, I mean, think of American Pie, Stifler's mom.
Yeah.
Think that, of Mrs. Robinson.
It's such
always,
a cultural
it's something
thing.
Like that.
Yeah.
So that doesn't surprise me that those are the top searches.
So then I did a lot of research. Brooks reveal what women search. And then I read multiple articles as to why. And I can explain to you guys.
Okay. So the most common thing for women is they prefer girl on girl porn. For many reasons.
So tell me what your thoughts are, and then I'll explain
women
why.
Women prefer that?
Yes.
Women prefer girl-on-girl porn for many... Straight women prefer it.
So give your thoughts.
My thought, my initial thought is that women are always... I think they're always more connected to other women than men. Men don't have the connection that women do with women. And I think my guess would be that the guys in these movies are pretty nasty. So they like to see the woman getting pleasured, but not by someone that they think is nasty.
So you're closer on that, which there probably is some element of that. What it said in the articles I read is that women on women porn is much more sensual, slower, erotic, as opposed to porn that men watch is very, can I just say the gross words?
Yeah.
Thrusting and penetration and like that. And women find that jarring and like unappealing, whereas the other type is much more like massaging, slow,
and
erotic.
Yeah, this goes
slow.
This goes
like
this. Yeah, it goes back to the energetic or the sexual blueprints, the erotic blueprints. Energetic, sensual versus like sexual is what you think the men's porn is like. Hey, let's we know that we're having sex. That's the only
like
thing that matters. B-A-N-G.
Right. That's the word that comes to my mind.
Bang.
the tone that you did it, I was thinking bingo, like B-I-N-G. And I was like, I don't know where we're. She's like B-A-N-G.
How about this? How about? Oh, go ahead.
Real quick on the women on women. I feel like maybe the woman who's watching that is perhaps thinking about their husband or their partner, whereas a male might be watching porn and the B-A-N-G-O is
the bongo
trying to.
I think you're right.
Is thinking about the bang, bang, bang.
I think you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I think you nailed it.
So here's
pun intended.
No pun intended.
Okay. Another porn question. Does pornography in culture today give a false sense of what sex really is?
Yes. I think it depends on who you're talking about. I think if younger people are watching it stuff, I think it's pretty bad. And I think it can be pretty detrimental. If young boys are watching and thinking, oh, this is what it should be, this is how women should behave, I think it's terrible.
Yeah. It's become a massive problem because it's so accessible for young teens and college students that they have an absolute crazy idea of what like relationships intimacy is.
No, you're completely right. It's not, I think that type of sex has been going on for centuries. I think it's the accessibility that people can get to see that type of sex being played out on a screen, more or less little kids or, you know, younger adults getting into that. And I think that warps their brain. It's a complete false sense of how life is.
So do you think that can actually ruin a relationship or lead to improper relationships?
1,000%.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you're new into the game and don't have as much experience and you weren't maybe brought up well about education on how sex is, and you are watching that, and then you're with a woman and you're all of a sudden like getting into a situation that is like the porn's being seen or shown now, and yeah, I mean, and that's when she's definitely going to say no. Or it leads to another whole other thing called
RAPE. They say young girls, young women are doing things they don't want to do because they've seen it and their boyfriend has seen it on the internet and think like, oh, yeah, we're supposed to do that when it's not anything anyone does.
So I have something further to that that's I don't think I've shared with you guys. So I've been looking into the, like, studying some of the sexuality that Jaya teaches and reading more up on that. And there was something that she mentioned that was really powerful and stuck with me. When, as a kid, if your parents ever said, okay, go hug your grandma, go kiss your grandma, or go touch your, or go hug your grandpa, it's telling that kid that they need to go give physical contact where maybe they're not comfortable doing it.
100%. It's always like, go give your uncle a hug. It's that type of stuff. I always tell the kids, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You don't have to hug somebody. If someone says, you know, give me a hug, whatever. It's never something that they have to do. 100%. I agree with that.
And so then that could be laced into somebody when they get older and start entering a physical relationship.
So I have a question on that, though. Then at the same time, how do you let kids know that affection is okay?
If you want to, you can go hug your grandpa.
Just change the language.
Just change the language versus like, here, Amy, you need to go. Like, think that you're 5 years old and your grandpa smells weird. Or so you're like, oh, I have to go do this. And I have to go do this. And then my uncle, and then, you know, like, it's.
So that's very interesting. So you change the language just slightly.
Just slightly.
Always, and it comes down to, especially if they bring a gift. It's like, oh, give them a hug, give them a kiss, they gave you a gift. No, it's say thank you, give them a high five, say thank you. But it's you never force them to be like, you have to hug them because they gave you something. Or you have to kiss them because they gave you something.
Exactly. I love that.
Great stuff. Okay.
Yeah, you let them make the decision if they're comfortable with physical contact or not. And then I think that is laced into the fabric and DNA of that individual as they get older and into situations that are like sexual situations. But that's what she had mentioned.
Really,
I'm really diving into it. And it's changed the way, like, I hope to parent one day. You guys are both dads, but like, I'll never be like, okay, go hug this person, go hug that. Who am I to control their body and what they're feeling?
This leads us right into talking to your kids about sex.
Okay, let's get into that. We got to take a quick break. Let's get into kids, talking to your kids about sex. Rick's looking at me like I got three heads. Here we go.
I'm going to go. I'm going to leave it.
Okay, we'll be right back. Okay, kids and sex. This I want to defer to you guys. I am really curious how you guys handle talking to your kids about sex. I know, Rick, your kids are a little bit older, right?
Yes.
So are they entering? Similar. Can you give me the age of your kids?
13 and 11.
13, 11. And Dimitri, what's your oldest?
10, 8, 6, and 3.
So you're not there yet. But, I mean, you're thinking.
I did have a situation, I'll get into it. Thanksgiving, we were watching a movie. And, you know, my nieces and nephews were there and stuff. We were watching Jumanji. And at one point, there was an erection joke. You know, it's very subtle. And, and they laughed because they're older. And my one kid turned to me and goes, what's that joke mean? And I was like,
how did you handle it?
I was kind of like, there's a joke about when someone's attracted to somebody and how it feels to them. So it happened to be the character. I don't know if you saw Jumanji. It's a character where the girl is in a boy's body. So she didn't realize what that was like at first. Oh. So I said, so it's about how a guy feels when he finds know, someone attractive. And I kind of left it at that. But
I'm actually, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
No, totally. I've my experience is, you know, it can be a little challenging. I mean, I don't have all the answers, to be honest, Brooks, you know, and I think there's been situations where they come up and, you know, like my son, for example, the other day we were getting ice cream after a basketball game and, you know, just kind of hanging out. It was the evening. We were waiting for an Uber to go home. And he's like, how many times have you had sex with mom?
Your son just said that out of the blue.
Out of the blue. Okay. And he's like, I'm like, well, what flavor did you get? You know,
did you tell him about the holdout game?
You know, then he asked, you know, as like a follow-up question, like, did you only have sex when you had, you know, my sister and I, like twice?
Yeah.
And
so did you answer the first one or did he go right to the second one?
You kind of immediately went into the second one.
Okay.
And then it was like, and so I'm still kind of trying to figure out how to answer this, right? I mean, it's like you're kind of put on the spot. And you're trying to figure out also kind of the read and where he's going with it. And, you know, and he's laughing and it's kind of funny and blah, blah, blah. And then afterward, the third follow-up question was basically like, have you had sex with mom since we were born? And so a lot of it was like, yes, definitely. You know, and then it's like, giggling and giggling and giggling. And it wasn't.
What was he doing while you were giggling?
He was eating his ice cream. But I don't know what my point is, to be honest with you, Brooks, but part of it is they're reaching out to me or yeah. us at that point in time, you know, like Dimitri's example. And a lot of times it's just allowing that. You don't have to always come back with an answer or a solution or the right, you know, result. It's more of like the having that open dialogue and that open question.
100%.
You know, conversation.
Sorry. Yeah. 100%. You don't have to have all the answers and you don't have to do it the best way, but don't shut that down. Mm. Don't shut that communication down, because then they're going to start asking other people.
So this was very fascinating at Jingle Ball the other night. We spoke to a 14-year-old and I asked for this show. I said, "What are you learning in school?" And she said, Rick was there, "Oh, we learned the 14 points to putting on a condom." And she went through all 14 points with me, which I do have in some notes somewhere.
14 points.
And there were, oh no, I think it was 11 points. There were 11 points. Actually, it's very interesting. If you guys keep talking, I'll pull it up. Danielle, can
they
you
were teaching
pull it
this
up
in school?
The,
I was never taught it sounds, this in school.
I learned about condoms in school in seventh grade, but it's kind of like, four, I mean, that sounds like a lot. Is it like throw out the wrapper so it's not left on the floor? Is that like...
All right, so I took notes while she was saying it. It's 11 steps, and this is what the teacher taught them in school. Number one, check the expiration date. Two, pinch the package to make sure there is air. Number three, softly take it out, not with your teeth or scissors. Once you take it out, pinch the tip.
We're talking about the condom, just so...
yeah. You slowly put it on and roll it down all the way. Next, have your fun. Next, eject the penis. Then carefully hold the condom so it doesn't come off. And she said, the teacher said, because that would be very disappointing. Mm. Meaning like you did all this work and then you yeah. failed. Next, separate your bodies carefully. Tie the condom in a knot. Throw it away. Do not flush it.
Mm.
I was like, I don't know about this.
Super detailed. I yeah.
That was in school.
So
it's a bit much.
I've never in my life, and even in school, had any sex training or anything to even do in that ballpark. I never had any discussions about it. My parents never talked to me about it. Like, and that's why at 36 now, I'm really starting to dive into like sexuality and even discovering. Like, I was never taught how to put a condom
on.
No,
I found that to be shocking. The one thing that I do know they teach, and I'd love for people to reach out to us what they think about this, consent. So they are now teaching in major ways. Consent is sexy. Not only do you have to consent, they said, the girl told me, you have to enthusiastically consent. So both parties should shout out, I want this. This is what I want. Enthusiastic yes. So that every party agrees to it.
I think you shout that out afterward, don't you? Or during?
During.
But I am loving
this.
Yeah.
So yes.
When I think about this, just the fact that this is in school, when I think about this, I think about college. And I think about how amazing this is that there's some sort of education and training for kids right as they're entering this stage of life where they're starting to explore sex, that they have some sort of framework, idea, or guidance entering into a very vulnerable and can be life-changing stage of life before they get to college, where now you're just turned loose. You don't have parents around you. You're surrounded by influences of friends, which can be good or bad or even worse. You're in environments where you maybe add in substance like alcohol or something else. And then you hear all the time about these stories about campuses and what happens
all
on them.
The time. Yeah. I think it shows the evolution of us beings, like of how we are and the education of that, and how, just like you were saying, when you're like you brush your kid up to go and give your uncle a hug, you know, it's like you have to say it the right way, and that goes on to like educating them into another level. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think if the kids have this type of education at that age, I think it's excellent. I mean, is the 11 step process, does it seem a little overbearing?
It
totally, but I think it's excellent.
It seems a little overbearing. Great. In seventh grade, we were told about condoms. And I remember Mr. Ed, the health teacher, was like, he talked about, he had a little speech thing. So he was like, if you're going to be with somebody sexually, you need to have, and he had a little speech thing. So he said condom, But the way he said it sounded like condo. Mm. So for like a week, I thought you had to like buy a condo before you had sex with people. And I was like, seems really expensive. But I wasn't thinking about sex in seventh grade anyway. But so they touched on it back when we were young, when Rick and I were young, which was a long time ago. But I think that's that list. That sounds a little extensive, but I'm not going to complain about too much information.
Yes. You don't want the kids doing it wrong,
right?
And putting their health or having pregnancy risk.
Yeah,
so
future,
this teacher really wants to make sure they're doing it right.
I don't ever complain about over-educating.
Totally. That's my next point is I would rather, even for me, but if I had a kid, have them have more information so that, and like, I doubt that both partners are going to say, I want this.
They're
and
supposed
then the other
to.
One, I know, but they're educating them to consent, really, that
so
they
you,
can figure out how they wish to consent, but they've over-educated and then the kid, I
love
think it's
that
like, they're doing
I
that.
I think it's like that, listen, shoot for this. Shoot
yes.
for yes. Yeah. We are yelling yes. Just so you know, in your mind, you got to hear some version of that.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I agree completely.
And Dr. Coles is going to be here in a second, and she can explain this to us. But I think it's no means no, and saying nothing means no. Like, the only thing that means yes is you have to actually say
yes.
Right.
Yes, put your
mouth
on
that. But I think the other thing, with if they get half or they get the most important steps in those out of those 11,
yes.
that's fine. It's like coaching. Like, you're telling your kids or your teammate to go do five different things. If they get three of those right, cool. We're in business.
Yeah.
Now,
and,
you know?
And by the way, I'm saying this as a 46-year-old guy. I'm saying it sounds a bit much. But you know what? When you're a kid and you don't know any of this, you have no experience, and you're probably a little afraid to ask questions. So I kind of take that back.
So
it's a bit much for us, but not for them.
When the 14-year-old was telling me the 11 steps to putting on the condom, I said, they don't exactly encourage you in school not to do it. It seems like they want you to be safe. I don't think they're doing either. Mm-hmm. But I said, I don't want you having sex till you're like 20.
Mm-hmm.
14 seemed,
yeah,
so
I don't.
Young.
But I think people have learned that you can't just teach abstinence and expect kids to go with it because it doesn't happen. So you have to educate them for if they are going to go ahead and do it, then I think they have to do it the right way and be safe.
I had a friend of a friend of a friend's son tell me that they were eating dinner one night and basically everyone was at the table and it was like two of his buddies and the dad or something like that. And they were talking about like sports and practice schedules and what nights they had it and what nights they did not. And this guy was like, on Friday nights, and I don't think anything had to do with a Friday night, but he didn't have practice on a Friday night. And at that moment, he was at the table and started like thrusting his hips.
Wait, the kid did?
The kid. And was saying, I'm getting some puss.
How old?
13 and a half.
Oh, God.
But is so, it just but to your
show?
Point, so
is that just a kid trying to
totally
show off?
Does even
you're showing off to your friends? You're showing, you know, and totally inappropriate. But that's going through these kids' minds.
And what
so
does the
to
dad
your point,
say
Amy, about
to that?
Having, being 14 about learning how to put on a condom, they need to know that now.
And what did the dad say when the kid did that?
Like, that is inappropriate. I mean, come on. It's like you're at a restaurant or wherever.
Regardless, it's back to the porn thing. Regardless if you're in a restaurant or not, that's not the way you should be. A kid should be looking at what he's going to have with a girl.
Exactly.
Oof, I would not want to have teenagers.
By the way, can we just real quick? I love the image of a 14-year-old saying, "This is the steps to putting on a condom," and Amy going, "Hold on, let me write this down."
Oh no, I actually asked her if she could come today, which she might. She might later.
Okay, back from break is Brooks again, and this is the sex episode. We've covered many topics now, but now those have just been our opinions. Now we have an actual expert in studio with us. I want to welcome to the show, her first podcast appearance, Dr. Viviana Coles.
Yay. Thank you so
much. Welcome to the show. And
awesome.
Kudos to her. You flew all the way from Houston to be
right.
on the show.
That's right. Of course. This is super special. I've never done anything like it, and y'all have something really cool going on, and wanted to be a part of it.
So the whole conversation has been about sex today, and I want to give our listeners a little background of you. So you're a doctor of marriage and family therapy, certified sex therapist, and an expert on Married at First Sight on Lifetime. So you TV, but never been on podcasts.
Right. So when I'm not in LA doing things like this, I have a private practice as a licensed marriage and family therapist. And so every day, all day, I'm working with couples and individuals who are experiencing emotional and physical intimacy issues. So this is like what I do since 2003. Like, this is what I do every day. I love it.
Well, you have come to the right spot.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't mean because of us. Wait, I mean because we're talking about it.
Is it because I'm here?
Yeah.
So you are the president and lead psychotherapist at Houston Relationship Therapy. You're also the president and lead instructor at Texas Sex Therapy Institute, a sex therapy certification program for mental health professionals. You hold a bachelor's degree in psychology and master's, a doctoral degree in marriage and family therapy. I could go on and on. This
She's
resume.
She's an actual expert.
She is.
It's just kind of embarrassing that we've been talking about everything and we have none of that.
Yes. I have my grade 12 public education.
Well, you have your own experiences. And of course, like most of the time I'm talking about things from a professional standpoint. I learned so much from the work that I do with my clients. I've also been married for over 12 and a half years. We have two kids. They're 8 and 11. So even that kind of creates experience that we can share with others.
So. Beautiful. So yeah. One, I just want to say I appreciate you coming. And our listeners are definitely going to appreciate what you have to say. So the next topic that we want to get into, and we'd love to get your insight on, is stagnant sex / keeping things spicy.
Yes.
So it's been a massive topic of discussion amongst our community. We've got many emails and people have reached out to us about it. One of the biggest things that we've received from the women in our community is they say, is it bad that I don't crave sex with my husband?
Well, it depends. Are they craving it with someone else?
Ooh, wow, great question. I would let's say no. Let's just go off the no. They
to
don't.
A simple
but
term. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's say I don't want to speak exactly for them, but based off the information that I have right now, let's say they do not crave it with somebody, but they're not craving it with their husband.
So craving sex for women is not the same animal as how men crave sex. It's not necessarily some sort of disorder, but it does mean that there's low sexual desire happening in general. Most women aren't saying, wow, you know, I haven't slept with my husband in a month, but I have masturbated 30 times. Like, that's not happening. Overall, women tend to prioritize sex and sexuality less than men do. And so if we're talking about it in terms of, I don't crave sex with my husband, it's not that they don't love them. It's not that they don't care about them. And it's not even that they're oblivious to it. They just don't prioritize sexuality in general. And that is something that plagues most women, especially women who are running households, who have kids, and they have to have everything checked off their list before they even begin to think about the bedroom.
Is that bad? Should they make it higher up on the
priority
list?
If they want to stay married in a satisfying relationship with a husband, yes. Absolutely.
So how would they go about doing that?
So the number one thing that I ask my women to do is to begin thinking about sexuality more often. I know it sounds super silly, but women don't think about it.
It's I don't like, think it sounds silly at all.
No, I don't either.
We just don't tend to think about sex nearly as often or as in-depth as men do. And, you know, I'm looking at all of you guys, and I don't know if this is the case for you, but most of the time, men will entertain sexual thoughts. They won't just shoo them aside. I mean, sometimes they'll think about their grandma or baseball just to get it out. But but for the most part, they're really
just
trying.
So we're clear, that's a separate topic. It's not sex with the grandma.
Yeah.
Well, when you want to get the thoughts out of your head, you have strategies to do that because maybe it's inappropriate or maybe you don't want to have like an interaction or something randomly. But women will do that all the time, and they have to have like gates up that they then have to open in order to let those thoughts in. And all of that tends to just not happen on a regular basis. So what I ask them to do is start to fantasize, start to allow those thoughts to happen. If they're wanting to initiate sex on a Friday, they need to be thinking about it starting Monday, which sounds like a lot of work.
I love this.
Really?
I love this.
It yes, sounds fun.
It does. And there's a lot of physical stuff that happens too. You know, most of us want to be very clean. We want to feel shaved. We want to have that tan. We want to make sure our, you know, our mouths are clean. Men don't tend to care about that as much. I mean, they appreciate a good smell.
Other than Rick.
Rick,
are you finicky?
I like good smells.
Yeah,
he's very into smells totally. And
but
being
men,
clean.
Because of y'all's testosterone levels that are so high in the morning, you would forgo brushing teeth if you really had to, if that's what it meant to get sex to happen. Mm-hmm. So with women, no. Like most women will say, I need to get out of bed. I need to maybe even take a shower. Like they don't feel comfortable.
It's actually, I feel like that. Like I love that and I don't think it's just a gender thing. Like, I feel like that. I love that you've mentioned the word sexuality a couple times versus just sex. And we've been talking about it on this episode, mm-hmm. is that in my life right now, I'm sort of on a journey to study what my sexuality is and the sexuality of my wife, not just the act of sex. And before, like a month ago, I looked at sex as just like a thing. You just have sex versus like sexuality is who I am as a sexual being. Creation is the birth of all life. Like, sexual energy is the birth of all life.
And it's something that typically a lot of us don't consider, the fact that 90% of sexuality happens outside of the sexual act.
Yes.
How you feel about someone, whether or not you're picking a fight that day, whether or not you're eating spaghetti for lunch and you know you're going to have, you know, acid reflux that mm-hmm. night. Like, yeah. all those choices are
it's
part
true.
Of sexuality.
It's true.
And
so
are
true.
A part of being open and receptive to sexual experiences, because everybody's talking about spontaneous sex like it is amazing. Nobody has time for that. It does matter how the weather is, how the stock market's going. I mean, all of that matters.
How do you feel about couples that schedule sex?
I am a huge fan of scheduling sex.
That's amazing.
I love it. I think everyone should do it, because if that's the only way it's going to happen, it's worth it. Like, nobody says, gosh, I wish we hadn't scheduled that after the fact.
It's funny what you said. Yeah, it's funny what you said about spontaneous sex, because we have some friends, and they're a couple, and they've mentioned that sometimes they'll go to restaurants, like outdoor cafes and stuff, and they'll duck into the bathroom and do it. And I'm like, and they're like, oh, yeah, it was great. And I'm like, God, like, a public restroom, I'd be thinking about a tetanus shot. Like, I there's no way. I don't know.
Well, what about the
like,
car, I mean, then? The car in my books I was reading, it encourages you like to try it out of the normal location to spice it up. So what about the car? Same
no,
thing.
I get the spice it up thing, but I'm saying is, sometimes, especially we were talking earlier about porn or movies and stuff, these things seem so glamorous, but sometimes spontaneous sex maybe isn't. Like, I mean, people that have done it in an airplane bathroom, to me, that's disgusting.
That's gross.
Yeah, that is gross.
I don't even
want
to go in there. I'll hold it for the 6-hour flight.
I just think that sometimes people think, oh, if, you know, these exotic locations. It doesn't have to be exotic. It can be
timing. Could
what about just
be,
the kitchen?
It can be the kitchen. Yeah. It doesn't have to be something that I'm just not a huge fan of people having sex under the possibility of getting arrested. Like, that's kind of not fun.
I live
you know?
For that.
So I'm not going to encourage that. But if you have, you know, a backyard patio and it's fenced, or if you want to go into your own restroom, like all of that, I think changes things up. And the truth is, if you're going to be in a long-term committed marriage and you want healthy sexuality, you're going to have to get kind of creative with it.
Yeah.
And that could mean before you go into the holiday party, you make out in the car. You're not necessarily whipping anything out.
Yeah.
I also think it's super hot, like a dirty text, even when you're in the same party. Like, you text. Oh, hey,
even if you're 10 feet away from me, like,
here's my boobs. You know, that's my specialty.
But I also think spontaneity doesn't have to just be location. It could be timing. It can be, there's many other different things that can be spontaneous than just a location.
Well, and for all of us, I think whoever has ever made out with someone prior to engaging in sexual intercourse with that person, you know how hot that is. Yeah. Like, making out before you cross the line to sexual intercourse is so exciting for so long, but nobody does it anymore. And then I ask women,
I totally agree,
why they're not into it. And
especially
they're like,
teenagers, love making out. They're skipping all the steps. It's, we were talking about teaching your kids about sex, and for some reason I find teens or even college kids are going from makeout to sex. It's like, what happened to all the like laying down, kissing, touching privates? Like, I
heavy
like someone
petting.
New, and I'm probably not going to have sex with him for months because I want to drag it out. Like, I'll do all kinds of weird stuff, but not that.
Well, just a tip to you guys.
Just a tip. Yeah. I might try that.
No. She said just a tip, not just the tip.
There are so many puns in this room. I'm like, my head is spinning. Man. But this is the thing. Just a tip for you guys. The makeout session, you have to do it. And with no option to do anything further. If you initiate a makeout session and you tell your wife, hey, we're not doing anything else because I have to be out of here, or I have to be in the office, or I have a meeting, or I have a whatever, and you mean it, that will get you so far. She will make out with you forever if that's the case.
Yeah.
But it's when she thinks, and this is unfortunately what happens to a lot of couples, it's when she thinks that even just a nice little 3-second kiss is always going to turn into the pressure of having intercourse, that she's like, okay, well, then I can't even do that anymore.
He's only kissing me because he wants to have sex. Right. How about this you were talking about the party and stuff like this. This happened to a friend of mine. He was at a holiday party one time, and he was there with his girlfriend. And she went to the restroom, I guess, came out, and she goes, can you hold this for me? And she just slipped something in his pocket, and it was her panties.
Ooh.
And so that was her message, like, it's going to happen later. It was kind of like, I guess it was before were they married?
Huh? Were these a couple?
They were a couple. No, they were a couple.
They were a couple.
But it was before, I guess it was before the text. So it was kind of the way of saying, hey, we're both here. I'm sending you a little message that this is a
that's hot. I really like that, because as a guy, I'm thinking, I want that now, and I'm in a room full of crowded people, and I need to figure out a way to try and make that happen.
Remember
now.
That scene in 50
yeah,
Shades?
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
There's sort of an erotic scene in 50 Shades of Grey where, I'm remembering it right, he makes her like take her underwear off and hand it to him under the dinner table or something.
That's right. Oh, and if you want to take it, and if you want to take it to the next level, you put them on.
Oh, what, the ooh. Dude?
The dude puts them on? The next level.
He went back and then stuffed his boxer shorts in her purse. Is that not what he was supposed to do?
I wouldn't want to put them in my pocket because I feel like my keys would dirty up the underwear.
You're a cleanly dude, right?
I understand what he's saying. Wait, what are you all?
Rick's like, did you have a backup pair? What are you wearing?
I'd love for everyone in the room to chime in on this, including producer Tori and producer Danielle. What do you think of sexting? Sexting and FaceTime sex.
So I'm going to say I think that sexting has to be something. You can't send pictures these days. You cannot send pictures.
Oops.
Amy, oh no.
No face.
You just killed the whole game.
Unless you don't mind someone else seeing it, and unless you don't mind 100 people seeing it, and
so
even
no face.
Possibly your parents seeing it, then...
It's not ideal.
Now, something you can do it in a tasteful way. You can do it in a, hey, this is a little glimpse. But if you're just going to put it all out there as if you're like getting a plastic surgery consult, it's probably not a good idea.
So it's probably
because
you probably
and you
send
say
it knowing
that because
that.
Of safety with it, not that it's not a good idea for like your relationship or arousal.
Well, no,
right.
I mean, what she's saying is also be subtle about it, which actually goes back to Dimitri's story, is that causes more arousal.
You
settle
when you
about
just
it,
put
like,
it all
like
out there.
Lure it in there. Like, mm-hmm. Throw it out there a little bit.
But what if
then...
it's somebody you're already sleeping with? Well,
okay.
I'm not saying this
it's
is in
the
beginning.
It's still the same thing them. As a kiss, 3-second kiss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the subtlety is for a man's brain. Subtlety, it's kind of this idea of, oh, let my imagination take it further versus putting it all out there. You know, that's why for some men, it's really gross to see full nude strippers versus someone who's maybe got some lingerie on or something. There's just a difference.
I'm actually, that's what I said before. I said, I don't like porn. I like movies with like, you know, scenes that kind of lead up to that because it's the same reason. I think there's something to the imagination rather than just seeing it.
Yeah. There's something psychological.
And what do we all think about sexting? Like no photos I'm saying, but like dirty texting, like your boyfriend's on a trip and you're like, eh.
Absolutely. I think it's super hot. I think that if now, the other thing is it can't just be something that you're like, you initiate it and then they don't respond and you're like, I'll never do it again.
Oh, right.
Like there has to be a kind of
a safe place.
Yeah, or also knowing maybe they're at work and they can't respond. But a lot of things, this is another thing women do. We've got some issues, right?
So well.
Wait,
this
I love
is another thing that women do. We'll take every little tidbit and then extrapolate it to forever. Oh, he told me he didn't like that, so I never did it with anyone ever again. And men do the same thing. Oh, well, she told me she didn't like that, so I never brought up, you know, doing anything oral ever again. Yeah. We're so sensitive when it comes to that. We're supposed to listen to each other's needs. We're supposed to communicate openly. But we think, I literally have had people say, oh, my partner told me he didn't like foreplay before. So 20 years later, we never do foreplay. Goodness. And I've been longing for it my whole life. This happens. We're so sensitive to sexual stuff that we just want to do whatever.
And sometimes people say something in the moment and it's not like, oh, I don't like foreplay, whatever. But it doesn't mean that that's like a staple. Like, don't ever do foreplay with
it. It just means right now.
And someone takes it and runs with
it.
So how do we break it down? So I'll be willing to give an example. So I like someone. I like him a little. He's totally listening. A lot. I like him a little. Like
a lottle. Go a lottle. Because it's a little, but a lot.
And he goes to bed like 9 or 10, but I don't go to bed till 1 or 2. So he'll say, okay, send me a picture as I'm, you know, after I'm asleep. So when I wake up in the morning, it's there. So it's like a little game.
Yeah. That's playful. I like
it. Which I'm totally good with it. One time he didn't text back, I cried. And then I actually said to him, don't do that. Like, so we communicated about it. So is that kind of the way to go?
Of course, you should always communicate what it is that you're thinking. But at the same time, because
then I went down the rabbit hole. Was it a bad picture? Does he hate it? Oh my God, he doesn't like me. This is terrible. Oh God.
Which is not at all what he was thinking, by the way. There's just no way.
Maybe he liked it so much that he ran into the shower.
Or maybe show less, and then he'll come back and be like, hey, how about show me a little bit more? Yeah.
Or you are a picky dude.
Yeah, whoa.
You are just
picky. No, you know
so
what it is? He's more tapped into...
He's the Simon Cowell of sexting.
I think he's more tapped into the sensual part of this.
He is. So I will say this about Rick. Very important. Super. We've done love languages and his erotic blueprint, and he's super sensual. Remember Miss Jaya said, oh, Rick, I like how sensual you are. He likes smells and...
I totally remember that. Of course I do.
Sensuality is something that we don't tap into as much as we should, especially people who want to be in long-term relationships. We have to use every tool that we have, or else things get stagnant and stale, and people either divorce or they betray each other.
And I think there's a big misconception that men aren't sensual. I think there's a huge misconception that men do not have or possess sensual energy. And
for sure. I think you're right.
And like, think of it. You think of a guy, even the porn conversation we had earlier, you think of like guys just watch sexual porn. Like there needs to be intercourse. Go at it right now. Not every man or woman thinks of sex that way. I know that I'm actually a very sensual person. The lighting, scent,
so
music.
Is it harder on Rick and Brooks's, I don't know how to say
systems.
Brooks's wives, because it feels like they have to put in a little extra work because their husbands are so sensual. It's not as easy as it is for me to just be like, here's my boobs, and he's in.
But it's not all the time. Like it's Rick possesses and I possess sensual energy, but it doesn't mean that that's the only way. That it doesn't mean that this is the only way we'll get to having sex. It's just that, and I believe Dimitri does too. I believe that you do, Amy, even though you say you're more quote unquote sexual. Like, let's just get to it right now.
Oh, I'm not like that. But I will say, here's my boobs. Like,
I love the voices you do. Here's my boobs.
Like, you should send that audio file.
And by the way,
I'm
not sending them. I've only sent them to 5 people. Ever.
You can tell I'm alarmed. I'm like, please don't have the world look at your boobs if you don't want them to.
The worst part is she has her name tattooed right underneath them. So even no face, you know who it is.
There's no face. And I've only sent them to 5 people. And I'm 45. That's not very many. I'm very careful with it. And I'm not on the cloud.
I do think you should add an audio file that just says, here's my boobs.
Okay. I have a question for you, Dr. Viviana. This is from our listeners. How do you say, because you just touched on it prior, how do you say you're not getting what you need without hurting the man's pride and manhood?
So you can't talk about things in terms of what you don't want. Talk about things in terms of what you do want. Ooh. Nobody wants to hear complaints, but they will absolutely want to hear additions. They want to hear enhancements, improvements. So depending on what it is, let's say a woman wants more massages. Just in general, like for her, that is amazing. She's not going to say, and you let me know if this is what it's like. You never massage me. So-and-so's husband always massages her feet. Like,
it's repulsive.
Gosh, how do you expect me to get in the mood? You don't do that. That is not going to work.
I'm actually turned off right now,
right,
Dr.
Exactly.
Viviana.
I agree with
you.
What
are you supposed
energetically,
to do?
All
I
three
love
guys
when you
right
touch
here
my
are just like,
neck or something.
Something more along the lines of, you know, it would be really hot if the next time you see me on the couch, you bring me a glass of wine and you offer to rub my feet. That would be really great. And it's all about tone, and it's all about the connection with the eyes as you're saying it.
Yeah, and I was the suggestions, like offer something out of what they want or what you want.
And actually specific. Like I like that when my wife tells me something specific that she likes. And then I love how you said it in an affirming way versus in a complaining way.
Do you find more confident the man, the more easily they accept sort of direction. Like a man who's super confident and you're like, hey, touch me there, they are super down, but an insecure guy gets more weirded out by it.
Okay, so insecure versus secure or confident? Because if there's a sexually confident man and you give him any direction, it's possible that he's going to say, you know, who are you?
So what about like, secure versus insecure? Because I know I tend to be with people who are pretty secure and they're super fine with anything instruction.
I think you can't go wrong if you do it in an affirming, nice, direct way, tactful, honest, kind and generous. You can possibly go wrong if you come at it from like a, God, I just wish you would do this.
Oh, I would never say, I would never say
that. Yeah, I wish you would do this. And the other one that you said before was so-and-so's husband always massages, like, that's
brutal.
Yeah, that's
you're what about this person direction. That asks, and sorry, Brooks, you can jump in here.
No, go ahead.
I don't enjoy oral sex, but I know he does. How can we compromise?
I hate that word. First off, I hate the word compromise.
Tell us more.
Compromise. I had a friend tell me this, like, this is like 2 weeks ago. And it, I was like, that is so brilliant. Compromise is 50-50 resentment. So compromise is 50-50 resentment. I would want them to have an understanding of, okay, I don't enjoy oral sex, but he does. So how can he communicate in a way to her that it means so much to him and he enjoys it so much that she can find her own pleasure and her own sexuality in doing and participating in that act with him?
I'm interested in knowing, how are y'all interpreting this question? Because are y'all thinking that she doesn't want to do oral on him? Or that she doesn't want him to do oral on her.
I was interpreting it, her doing oral on him. I could be completely
wrong. I would interpret it that way too. One, because you assume that she would like that more. And two, he's probably, and there are guys that really like that, but he's probably not going to do it if she's not enjoying it. So I took it as her performing on him.
As someone in private practice, I can tell you it's usually the opposite.
Wait, can you spell that out for me? I'm like confused.
So most women will say that they don't want oral sex performed on them.
That's so weird.
They say that way more often than they don't want to perform oral sex on them.
Is that because of their own insecurities?
Or is it because the guy's just bad at it?
Usually it doesn't even get to that point. It's usually they're worried about their body. They're insecure about how they taste, how they feel, how they smell, how they look, especially with so much pornography. Everyone has like a template of what, you know, the vulva is supposed to look like. So, and women are competing with that now. So that's what I would, if we're going to talk about it in terms of her not wanting to perform on him, I would say, what is it about it? Because, and I promise I won't get too graphic.
No, you're fine.
But what most women will say very consciously and directly that they don't want is that they want to avoid any sort of ejaculation in their mouths. But that they don't mind anything else about it. They actually really don't mind, but that they're concerned that if it's not from A to Z, that their partner won't want them to do it. And that's often not the case. This is a huge deal. And the next time you speak to someone who happens to say this, just say, what is it specifically that you don't like? It's usually one or two things. One is that. The other one is, I don't like that I feel like he feels like I owe it to him. Or they feel inferior by being put in that position. Like it's too vulnerable. And that's a relational issue.
That's crazy.
And about oral sex, one of the things that men said was they don't want the woman, because it's such a one-way thing, they don't want the woman to feel obligated or like she's only serving him. And my response to that was, we want to do that. And not only that, we want you to want us to do it.
So this is just further into all of the erotic blueprints. Seriously, this is everything that I'm reading that Jaya has put out there, or watching that she's put out there, is all of this stuff. And that's why it doesn't need to be a compromise. The rest of their life, if these two are married, she doesn't need to do something that she doesn't enjoy the rest of her life. How crappy of a life is that? Instead, as you said, Dr. Viviana, is find a way. Let's talk about what you don't enjoy specifically in it, and then let's find a way what do you enjoy in it, or what can I do to help you enjoy it? Like anything like that, so that actually this is something that's part of our lives. Because you know what? If we want to be together, I want to be happy too. I need to get sexually what I want for us to be happy, for me to be happy so that I can be happy with you. And I want the same for you. So it's reciprocated.
And typically there is a way to make any of these activities work for two people. There's so many different ways to do this. You can't just cut it all out, which is what happens. They'll just cut it all out. We don't do that. And in my office, I'm like, okay, well, we're going to figure out a way where you feel really good about the decision to not do it, or you feel really great about the decision to try something different.
Right. It's not a menu that says no substitutions. It's like you can get what you want. Exactly. You can just tweak it.
And also it comes back to what we always talk about, communication. You have to really be willing to talk about it, right?
And if you don't know what you're talking about, because sometimes you just don't have that experience, you've only heard things, you've only seen things, then you can get help.
So there's a big one that I'll bring up. I'm just going to bring it up because this is what we're doing. A lot of couples do have a discussion and a difference of opinion on, how do I say this?
Just say it. Tell me I'll say it.
A word. A word.
Oh. Instead of mouth stuff, the other end.
Canal minus the C.
Hold on a second. Who has a pen?
Wait. Anal sex.
Yes.
There you go.
There we go.
Seems like guys sometimes want that, and the woman is like, no. How do you compromise on that?
So again, it's a why. What are the concerns? What are the fears? What is it that it means? What have you heard? With anal sex, a lot of what helps couples to decide, again, one way or the other, is education. There are so many good educational videos that will help you to understand all the processes that it takes in order to make that happen in a comfortable and pleasurable way. You can do it and it won't feel good, or you can go through processes to help your body make it something more pleasurable. Not everybody's willing to do that, but most people don't even know what it takes to make that happen.
Yeah, they just shut it down and said, "I, you are amazing. There's so much more we'd love to talk with you about, Dr. Viviano. I would love to have you join us again next week."
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on.